Sagemont Church is a gathering of Christian believers in the southeast area of Houston, Texas. Today's message is from our senior pastor, Dr. John Morgan.
Today's message will continue to be a follow-up on the Dawning of a New Day series as we get real specific today as to when the Lord said, and I sort of led into it last week, that all of us are missionaries if we're born again. If you're a born-again Christian, you don't volunteer, you are a missionary of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you can clearly understand what that means and how you are living wherever you are right now and whatever might be your circumstances, you are in the place where God wants the simple message of the gospel presented to a watching world. And we're going to look at this as we read this passage of Scripture. Let me just set it up by telling you that Jesus is on his way to his betrayal. We're going to John chapter 17, and as you move forward into the passage of Scripture, you will see that Jesus is taking those moments to speak to his disciples, his followers, his faithful servants, and giving them his last words of instruction. He makes them clear, he makes them very simple, but he makes them in the form of a command. This is what I am expecting of every person that chooses to follow me. It is non-negotiable. It is a command of our Lord. But it is an exciting command, and when you begin to realize that the reason he said it is because he made all of us special. He put all of us in a special place at a special time. We're not all the same age. We don't all live in the same spot. We don't touch Monday through Friday the same group of people. But we are a part of that family of God. So listen carefully as we read from John 17, and I want to start reading from the 13th verse. Would you please stand as we read from God's Word? From verse 13, John chapter 17. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. The them, he's talking about us and his disciples. And for their sakes, for our sakes, he's saying, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Turn over a couple of pages to the 20th chapter. I want to read to you one verse, verse 21. Then said Jesus again to them, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. May God bless this beautiful part of his word. Would you be seated? There's a lot of definitions you could give for a missionary, but let me just try to put something down real simple for you to ponder. A missionary is a saved, and because they're saved, sanctified soul that is attached to Jesus, having committed themselves to that task, and that task being seeing that God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. That's who we are. In whatever realm we find ourselves, whatever sphere of influence we have, whether it's little or big, our responsibility, because we have been saved and made clean by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have become heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ, attached to Him, if you please. And we are committed to one thing, and that is to seeing that whatever influence we have, again, whether it's large or small, we are committed to the task of seeing that God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Exactly the call of Jesus. Not my will, Father, but thine be done. If we're going to be a true biblical missionary, we have to go back to the source. And a missionary is one that is sent by Jesus because He bought us with a price. He owns us. And now He says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. So I'm sent by Jesus, just like Jesus was sent by the Father. Now, Jesus made it very clear. I was not sent by the Father to do my own will. I was sent by the Father to do His will. And I'm going to send you, listen to me, I am going to send you not to do what you want to do. I'm sending you to do my will. And if you didn't understand that when you said, I want Jesus in my life, if you felt like one day I heard the good news that I don't have to go to hell, and I've always been afraid of that. If there was such a place, you might have thought back in those days, I was afraid I might go there. But one day I said a little prayer and I got that taken care of. And I'm so glad that I bought my eternal fire insurance policy and it's paid in full. I just don't like to owe anybody anything, and I am so glad that now my salvation, I owe nothing for it. No, you don't owe anything for your salvation, but if you're really saved, Jesus lives in you. And if Jesus lives in you, if you don't serve Him, you have lived the last fulfilled day of your life. You will never, ever, ever enjoy the things of the Lord. Isn't it interesting? We all think when we all get to heaven, you know, where we'll all be obeying Him, worshiping, serving Him, bowing down before Him. Oh, I just can't wait. Well, what about now? Do you have to die to enjoy all that stuff? Oh, I just can't wait to bow down before Him and worship Him. Now, where did you read you got to wait till you die? That might be a long time for some of you, not so long for others of us, but you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of heaven right here on the way to heaven. And Jesus came into a horrible world and He did the will of the Father and He died and said, it's finished. And He knew, I did what You sent me to do. And into Thy hands I commend my spirit. You see, the dominating force that drives us should not be the needs of mankind, and they are great. Sinners need to be saved. Naked need to be clothed. Those that are hungry need to be fed. Those that are mourning need to be comforted. But that's not the driving force. The driving force is we have been commanded by our Lord and Savior to do it. And the thing that we want to do is not get that feel good, that little woozy feel good inside because I did something that I thought was wonderful, but rather that joy of the Lord is my strength. I know the Lord is pleased because I did exactly what He told me to do. And I have thought about Him. I have not just looked at the needs of my world, but God has looked at those needs and He knows parts of the world that we have never been before, and He says, but I'm looking at you and I have a plan for you, and I want you to find that and walk in that and see what the scripture means, that the joy of the Lord is my strength, knowing that He is saying, I smile upon my child because he has listened to me. He has heard my voice. He reads my word. He spends time in prayer because he knows that every day is a new day. And we do not know what that day holds, but we're to walk in obedience to him. We must be true to him, faithful to him, obedient to him. And we have to be extremely careful that we don't glorify people more than we glorify God. You can show the greatest need of the world to me or anyone else. And even though that will motivate us, that is not the end. Our job is to bring glory to him. Yes. Now our assignment is to make disciples. Yes. To make disciples. That's our assignment. Not to get people saved. We can't save anybody. What we're to do is to take those Jesus saves and makes disciples out of them. And the way you make a disciple out of them is to get them following the commands of Jesus and serving the Lord. There's going to be a lot of people today, a lot of people that have already said, I'll serve. They haven't even been saved 12 months. All they know is they're a new person with a new vision. We run around today, just can't get a job, can't get a job, can't get a job, can't get a job. Unemployment is at an all-time high. Listen to me. You can get a job working for the Lord. He's got plenty of openings. You say, yeah, but don't pay enough. Oh, yeah, the retirement program is fabulous. Fabulous. You know, if you're worried about Social Security, let me tell you, this retirement program is unbelievable. But you know what? He said, I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory. You walk with me. You sit at my table. You will lack for nothing. No good thing will I ever withhold from those that have chosen to follow me. You know, it's wonderful when you realize, if you've ever played sports, if your coach has ever played before. If you're a soldier, your commander has been on the battlefield. It's great to take piano from somebody who knows how to play the piano rather than read somebody's book and can tell you what you're supposed to do. That's the reason the Bible talks about training. It's show them. Each of the four Gospels. We call them the Synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there's a reason we call them that. They tell many of the stories are the same from the viewpoint and the position of watching of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But here's something about the subject today. Here's what Matthew said, go make disciples. Here's what Mark says, preach the gospel to every creature. Here's what Luke says, preach repentance and remission of sins to all of the nations. Here's what John says, feed my sheep and take care of my lambs. Together they compose what we are to do. We're to take the message of Jesus Christ to the world and take care of the lambs, feed the sheep. And that's a whole other subject about taking care of sheep. But sheep are weak in everything in any way you can imagine. They cannot defend themselves. They got weak jaws. Their mind's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. And they need shepherds. And you see, the problem is, if we get a lot of people saved, who's going to shepherd them? That's where we come in. We are to take care of the little ones. We're to make disciples. Our men's ministry, our women's ministry, our iConnect ministry, our preaching ministry, our teaching ministry, our Wednesday night ministry. Everything we do, we go on mission trips, and we go to try to strengthen those that are there that have already been saved, at the same time helping them during our brief stay there to get the gospel out to folks that they have not had the manpower to do, knowing that they can come back into the family of God and be discipled. That's missions. And the methods are as varied as the needs of the nations. Wherever we go, there are different cultures. There's different strategies or methods, if you please. But we're to tell them and to show them living proof. And then Jesus has a responsibility and has taken it upon himself to save them. And over in John 13, Jesus gave a tremendous example to us. He said to disciples, after they had made a real dusty journey, he calls attention to the fact that they need their feet to be washed. And so he has an I Serve conference, and he invites the disciples that would like to sign up for the foot washing team. And he went out to the fair, and he got the list of all of those that had decided that they wanted to serve on the foot washing, that that was just their call. And he looked, and he noticed there wasn't anybody on the list. He asked the disciples to go and do that, and they would not do it. It was beneath their dignity. And so Jesus said, well, bring me a towel, and bring me the water, and the divine servant, that'll be one of the center points in our new building, as it is in this one, is what happened. Jesus said, let me show you something, guys. Before you get these grandiose ideas about your ministerial career and how people are going to come by the thousands, sometimes you need to wash feet. Sometimes you need to wash feet. Had an interesting experience this week. On Monday, with all this on my mind and trying to keep our priorities of our church right and thinking about where we're going, how we're going to do it, and it's just an incredible amount of stuff. My truck broke down, and I was driving my wife's car. As I was driving out, and we'd set up our day, how she was going to meet me and all this kind of stuff. We were going to get by with the one car, and as I was leaving the house, she says, oh, by the way, as she goes, said that little yellow light says something about oil is going to come on. So before I ever cranked the car, I went and checked the oil, and there wasn't any on the stick, not even on the tip of the stick. And so I said, okay. The car's got 197,000 miles on it, so it's probably time for an oil change. So I will take it in, but I don't have time to get the oil changed. I got appointments up at the church, so I stop over on Highway 96 at Bucky's, and I pull up to the front row because I know it doesn't have any oil in it. So that's about 4 or 5 miles from my house. So I pull up there, I raise up the hood, and I tried again. Sure enough, it didn't even splash up while the car was going. So I said, we definitely need some oil. So I decided, okay, I was in a tie and a shirt and suit. Coat was in the back seat. And so I go to take the lid off. Well, the lid wouldn't even come off the thing, you know. And so there's a pipe going down into the engine. So I just started shaking this pipe, you know, up into the head cover, whatever you call it. Anyway, I started shaking and shaking. Finally, that thing popped out. Man, I looked at my hands, because I'd used both of them, and they were a different color from the rest of my body, totally. And now I'm thinking, and how am I going to get that oil in the side of that engine, you know, because you pull that thing out, it's no longer like this, you know, the opening's like that. I look up. Here comes a man, employee, out of Bucky's, walks up to me with two towels. One is moist, another one is dry. And he says, could you use these? I said, could I use them? I said, what do you think? He said, I know. He said, I knew before I came you needed them. And so I cleaned up my hand. I went in. I bought several quarts of oil. And when I went up to the cash register, the lady at the cash register says, do you need a funnel? I said to myself, how'd you know? Because I was just going to kind of slosh it in, you know, if I could. And I knew this girl didn't know a thing about an engine either, but something said, do you need a funnel? I said, yes, I do. Now, I'll tell you all that story to tell you this. You think I'd ever go back to Bucky's again if I'd never been there before? Oh, yes. Why? You think that guy was paid to take towels out to people that had dirty hands that are changing their oil out on the tarmac? I don't think so. But I think they had a couple of employees that said, you know what? I want to represent my company right. Yes. There's a need. It's not on my to-do list. It's not on my job description. But where there's a need, I'm going to meet that need. That's what a missionary is. Our world is sick with sin. And everywhere you go, there are people. And they don't know what to do. And we need to give a cup of cool water in Jesus' name and watch what happens in their lives. In Luke 10:17, the disciples returned to Jesus after their first day of serving him. This is so exciting to me. They were amazed at what a great day they had. This was their first day to finally get it. You know, that now they had a time to move forward under the power of God. And here's what they said, even the devils obey us. You know, my children weren't even obeying me when I left home. And now, all of a sudden, even the devils are obeying me. They were so excited that they had found something that they had never seen before, because there never was a time when they learned before this time to go out and be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus said something to them that kind of shocked them. In that 20th verse of that 17th chapter, after they shared their excitement, Lord, even the devils obeyed me. Man, you can't believe what happened. And Jesus says to them, he said, you know what you should really be excited about? Not that the devils obeyed you, and not at what you've seen. But you know what you ought to really be thankful for? That you're rightly related to God, that you're saved. That's what he told them. He said that you are rightly related to God through me. You know the reason you ought to serve? Not because there's a lot of people with dirty hands that need their oil changed, but because you've been saved. This is God's way. You want to glorify me? Serve me. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it to my glory. And when you do that, everything you do is a magnanimous success. You don't have to look back and say, well, I didn't do that very well. I could have done better at that. He says, when you do it my way, then good things happen. Over in Luke chapter 24, verse 45, it says, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Houston. For us. And you are witnesses of these things. That's your responsibility. The gospel, the message is very simple. The life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Please hear me very carefully. The cross of Jesus was not the cross of a martyr. It was the cross of a Savior. Yeah. Jesus died to save sinners. He did not die because he could not put down the Roman army. He could have blinked his eye and 10,000 angels would have come. But he didn't. He died alone for you and for me. Now, as you look around, as you watch television, as you visit churches, as you sincerely take your spiritual journey, I want you to carefully understand that there are two things that are very evident in any group of believers that indicates that they have totally gotten away from the purpose of God's church. And you need to be able to recognize these as far as the north is from the south. And this is this. Number one, sin is minimized. Anytime a church minimizes sin, that church has left God's purpose for it ever existing. Any church that will not use the word sin, any church in order to build a crowd that says, no, we're going to make you feel good when you come to our church. Scripturally, they have turned as far from being what a church is supposed to be as possible. And number two, their message departs from the cross. The message of the church is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of the God, of God, but by the shedding of blood on the cross, Christ is the remission for sin. He's our Savior. We're not here to feed the poor and clothe the naked. That's a priority. We do that because we've been saved. And that's what Jesus would do. And when the carnal mind that contains not the Spirit of God cannot of itself comprehend the truth and the power of the gospel, it just can't do it. There's no way the carnal mind can comprehend the gospel message. No way. That's where the testimony of people come in. In the early church, people testified. They told the world about their salvation in Jesus Christ. I was once blind, now I can see. I once was walking this way, and now I'm going in a new direction. You see, that's where the power of the Holy Spirit takes over. Have you noticed, or am I the only one here? Most of the things I plan don't go the way I plan them. Am I the only one here that has that problem? I mean, I can't think of when the last thing went the way I planned it. I'm not sure I can go back that far. They just don't go that way, you know. Well, those biscuits didn't turn out like I think they would, you know. Well, we weren't expecting to take this long, you know, to come. I'm sorry we're running late, but, you know, we got held on you. Everything. Isn't it good to know one that knows what's going on and just says, come on, follow me. While the world looks for evolution, what we need is a revolution or revival. John 3:7 says, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Does that shock you? You know, that's what he says to the people. He said, are you shocked? Do you not understand how you are dead in trespasses and sin? And then he lays it out in John 21, right before he goes back to heaven. Peter comes up, and he's really concerned about what's going to happen to everybody else, and what the scripture says in John 21, verse 15. It says, when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he says, yea, Lord, I love thee. And he said, well, feed my sheep. And then he asked him a second time. He said, feed my sheep. And then he asked him a third time. And when he asked him the third time, he said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, well, take care of my little ones. I'm glad to hear you talk, Peter. Matter of fact, you might be a good preacher one day on Pentecost, but right now, you got a job to feed the sheep and to take care of the little ones. That means make disciples of new believers. For Sagemont, that's 600 people plus in the last 12 months that we have a responsibility to. Everybody that signs up at that table out there today, and everything we do is to help disciple those and get them involved in serving the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We get to the place sometimes, though, where we think that no one is sinful. And we get to the point also, if they are sinful, we don't want them to get saved because then we got to shepherd them. But I think my question is, do I really believe that God is able? Do I really believe it? Can God change a soul? Oh, yeah. The church is full of them today. Not only this church, but every Bible-believing church today. Matthew 9:28, and when he was coming to the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe you that I am able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. Do you believe it? Do you believe a church can impact a city? Do you believe a church can impact families? Do you believe that a church, and I'm not talking about a local church, I'm talking about the bride of Christ. Yes. Do you believe that it can change anybody through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he able? Yes. Are we finished as a nation? Do we really believe that politics is going to get us out of this mess? Do we really think this world is going to straighten up and there's not going to be wars and rumors of wars when the scripture says, oh yes, there will be until I come again? A nation will rise against nation and kingdom will rise against kingdom. And Israel will be right in the center of all of it. It's all there. And yet we think we can go to the poll. Hey, yes, we're supposed to go to the poll. Yes, we are to vote. No question about it. But there's an eternal plan. It's an eternal plan. When our nation makes wrong, bad decisions, we suffer for it. And so does every other nation of the world. If we make right decisions, we can be helped by them. But that's not the last chapter. The last chapter is, you must be born again. We must get people ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So do we, you and me, believe that God, through Jesus Christ, changes lives? Is he able? Is he who he said he is? Can he do what he says he can do? Is all power given to him in heaven and in earth? I believe it is. So I must close with this thought. God calls the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to be disciples. We are his body. We are to serve. We are to serve. And if we do not see God's purpose, we will be continually misled by the externals. And we will go after other gods and other methods to reach people, rather than, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Go you and serve me, Jesus says, as I came to serve the Father. And Paul said that by all means I might save everybody? No, some. Jesus today says to this church and every saved person, one command. Go out, win souls, and make disciples. We've got to get beyond the doors and the walls, and we got to go. And we got to tell them. And then when we come, we must worship him. We must worship him. There's a whole lot to that, and we'll get there later. Why are you at church today? Why are you here? You know why we better be here? To worship him. To worship him. I pray the church will get to the point to where it bows its head as much as it stands. I look forward to the time when the church begins to understand that God's word is God's word. And that we're to worship him in spirit and in truth. And that we never have any other alternative other than that. And we've got a responsibility. I've got one and you've got one. So let's pray that God will lead us to find it. Would you bow your head for just a moment? As we close the service, again, all during the day now, out there in the hall, will be open. But we're going to open up our Connection Center now. This is our place where people go to pray to receive Christ, where people go to share their prayer requests, where people go to unite with the church, where people go to ask questions about things that are burdening them today, where somebody will pray with you. And that room is just to the left here, just through the double doors, one step, and you see it to the right. And so we invite you to come and do that. Every Sunday, many, many, many come. And so many are touched. So many are touched. Our Heavenly Father, I pray now that as we come to the end of this hour, and now we step into the new hour and the new responsibilities and the new opportunities, I just pray, Lord, for every person here, so special to you, special to the church, special to me personally. And Lord, I feel a responsibility to tell them the truth in love, knowing that your ways are so much better and you've come to bring them life and to bring it to them more abundantly. I thank you for saving me as a child. I thank you for surrounding me with so many wonderful believers that had a common vision. But Father, we just know that there's so much lacking that we need to be about if we're going to truly fulfill your commands and your will. So guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
We pray that today's message has brought you to a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Join us Sundays at 8, 9:30, and 11 a.m. at Sagemont Church in the Worship Auditorium. For more information, check us out at www.sagemontchurch.org.